It's just sickening to see that she's still over there. I can't believe that it's been 85 days since her wrongful detention. You just really hope she gets home, and you can't help but think about the condition she's going through. And, you know, someone who's a global athlete needs to be back home.
That was the Seattle Storm's Breanna Stewart last week, taking the mic to talk about Brittany Griner, her fellow all-star, this all-time great whose absence is overshadowing the entirety of the WNBA season and leading every week to even more questions. So today, 90 days after she was arrested in Russia and with the U.S. government officially declaring her wrongfully detained, TJ Quinn explains what's really happening with Brittany Griner, how the strategies for bringing her home have finally changed, and what comes next. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, May 18th. This is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
TJ Quinn, we had you on this show in March, and you opened our eyes to a lot of the backroom strategy surrounding the case of Brittany Griner, who has been detained in Russia since February now on charges of carrying vape cartridges that contained cannabis oil in her luggage. She was apprehended at the airport trying to re-enter Russia. The charges, as you reported back then, had a ceiling of up to 20 years, but now it's seeming like a maximum penalty of 10 years, depending on the amount. But last week, there was major news on her case. So let's just start with the latest update here. How would you describe what's going on?
A major shift in how it's viewed and what the tactics will be. The U.S. State Department suddenly reclassified her as being wrongfully detained. It's a big deal. Up to that point, she had been under the consular affairs desk, which would keep track of any American overseas, even one that the U.S. government believes is rightfully detained. I mean, Americans do break laws. It happens. So what this meant was something triggered the Levinson Act, which is the act that governs how the U.S. views these cases. It was only passed in December of 2020. But there's really specific guidelines about how you classify somebody. Were they targeted simply because they were American? Is there due process? Is there transparency? Is there any evidence that the person might actually be not guilty? The people I talked to at State said that they can't share what changed. The people around Brittany Griner told me that the State Department didn't share it with them either. But it means something triggered the Levinson Act. You know, one of the things that occurred to me is if Russia at any point floated the idea that maybe a deal could be cut for her, now it's no longer just a judicial proceeding. Now it is a negotiation. And that really would be enough under the act to just say, okay, we're moving her to the other desk. What it means strategically is now you're no longer just waiting for the legal process to play out. Now you're actively negotiating. It's not the same as saying she's a hostage. That's actually a very specific term, but that she's wrongfully detained. So the channels are open. It's not coincidence that this came after American Trevor Reed, former U.S. Marine, was released, which was a huge sign to people around Brittany Griner that, yeah, there is a channel open. There may be a way to do this. So as far as they're concerned, this was actually good news.
But But she is being wrongfully detained, according to the U.S. government, TJ. And that declaration, I mean, it comes as there was supposed to be a hearing scheduled for this week. That's why we booked you for this week. But even that schedule, speaking to the unpredictability of all of this, that's already been blown up.
I mean, it really goes. And I spoke to people at the State Department about it, and they said, this is how the game is played. They move the hearing up because they have to go along with the idea that this is all legitimate. Russia has to make it look like this is a real process. One is because they're trying to show, you know, claim some sort of legitimacy. But it also, that's where their leverage comes from in a negotiation. Say, no, this is all very serious legal stuff. We really are prosecuting her and following Russian criminal law.
The upshot of it is that Brittany Griner is now being detained for an extra 30 days here, right? She had been requesting a transfer to house arrest that got denied by the courts in this hearing that got moved up to last week as we expected it for this week. But you had mentioned a phrase that I want to get more clarity on here, which is, you know, this is how the game is played. So just explain for us here, what is the game?
Right. The understanding under any nation with due process is if it's a legitimate prosecution, a hearing date is set, you prepare, you've got two sides in an adversarial relationship that argue this before a judge who supposedly is neutral and following the law. With Russia, you speak to anybody, and that's yet, yes, all these things exist on paper there, but it is entirely under the whim of Vladimir Putin's government. And so if they've moved into a situation where they're ready to negotiate, they know that they want to cut a deal for Brittany Griner, it's not just that they suddenly moved the hearing date. The hearing date was the same day as a story that I just happened to find on TASS, the Russian state news agency, that same day, that said there is a deal on the table for her.
While Griner was in court today, the Russian state news agency, TASS, reported that the U.S. and Russia were negotiating to exchange Griner for a Russian man being held in the U.S. for financing terrorism. American government officials expressed skepticism about that report.
And it quoted a government official, but also had another official saying, well, anybody can offer their opinion. We're not saying this is real or not. But the point was that you had Russian state news, which is a function of the government, saying there's a discussion underway for between exchanging Brittany Griner and a Russian man named Viktor Boot, who's in a U.S. prison serving a 25-year sentence for financing terrorism.
Rarely does the U.S. government want anyone more than it wanted this man. His name is Viktor Boot, and he's known as the Merchant of Death. U.S. government officials say Boot became the world's most notorious arms dealer by fueling civil wars around the world.
The people I talked to, both experts and State Department officials, immediately said, this is the game. This is what you do when you're trying to negotiate. This is what they've done in the past. So you've got the hearing where it was the point to really adjudicate her case and move it forward to set a trial date? Or was it to drag Brittany Griner in handcuffs in front of cameras? The same day, you've got a Russian media story saying there's a deal on the table. Experts I've talked to all said it's all designed to create pressure within the United States to get the White House to cut a deal so Russia can get the guy that they want.
Wow. So TJ, just to be very clear here then, part of your understanding is that the Russian government had been sending public signals saying that the center for the Phoenix Mercury, one of the great WNBA players of all time, Brittany Griner, could be swapped, traded for a Russian man in the United States in prison for financing terrorism. And this sort of a swap, it does speak to what we discussed the last time you were on the show, which is what the U.S. government and what Brittany Griner's team specifically wanted to avoid.
Yeah, the original advice that they got was, hey, we've got a window here where we might be able to get her out without having to negotiate for somebody. The thought was, you got a war that just started. Putin's got other things on his mind. Maybe he's not paying attention to this. maybe there's some way to get the Russians to say this was a mistake, or the evidence wasn't what we thought it was. Maybe through legal channels, we can get her out quickly. There were a number of people who were immediately skeptical, saying, are you kidding? This is how Russia has long done things. Of course, they're going to negotiate to get her out. She's a prominent American, and felt that the move should have been made right away. But the funny thing was, because she's a WNBA star, and because there is a true disparity in how we look at men's and women's sports in this country,
yes,
she is not as famous as a male counterpart in the same sport. That disparity that WNBA athletes, administrators, fans would all love to address, the paradox is it meant there was a way to kind of keep her low, take advantage of that lower profile.
Right. That was the strategy, hopefully, of least resistance, just sort of sneaking her through the sort of thicket of geopolitics because of her relatively lesser fame that you're describing.
Exactly. And if you make her too famous, if you make this a huge cause celeb in the United States and you've got members of Congress banging the drums, then that makes her more valuable as an asset to Russia. That's what they were trying to avoid. But obviously something changed where the State Department said, all right, we've seen all we need to. We're going to have to cut a deal.
Yeah, so we'll get into exactly what has changed in terms of the public conversation and what has been given the green light in terms of drawing attraction and attention to the dynamic that you are now describing as still extraordinarily delicate, TJ. And part of the delicacy, of course, is what you alluded to earlier as well, which is that there is a war between Russia and Ukraine that is happening as all of this is happening, right? The U.S. and its NATO allies have been levying economic sanctions against Vladimir Putin. Tensions between Russia and NATO are obviously intensifying. This informing this negotiation, how does that look at this moment?
Once real negotiations start, they get real quiet and they don't tell people around Griner. You've got a number of things happening at the same time. The same day that we were able to get the news that she had been reclassified as wrongfully detained, we got confirmation that her family had signed on former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Bill Richardson. He runs an organization called the Richardson Group that this is what they do. They negotiate to get Americans home, and they did that with Trevor Reed.
The extraordinary return of Trevor Reed, the American released from prison in Russia, the U.S. Marine veteran imprisoned in Russia for nearly 3 years. We're learning more here tonight about this dramatic prisoner swap on an airport tarmac in Turkey.
I mean, Reed was originally picked up and charged with punching a police officer. And then once his case went to trial, the U.S. government watched and said, this is ludicrous. But they waited for the judicial system to play out before saying, okay, he's wrongfully detained. We got to get him home. And they did finally cut a deal for this guy, Konstantin Yaroshenko. He was serving a 20-year sentence in the U.S. for smuggling cocaine. What I was told by state officials immediately was, hey, we understand that the family of Paul Whelan, the other American there, and Brittany Griner are wondering if you can cut this deal, which has been on the table, why can't you just do it for them? And U.S. officials I spoke to said, hey, we did this because Trevor Reed's health was in jeopardy. His family believed he had untreated tuberculosis. He had been badly injured in either a fall or some kind of accident, and they needed to get him out. And so they said his case is different. These deals can sit there for a long time. And that's the frustrating part. The families of the people who were detained, as we've said, have one goal, and that's bring our people home. The U.S. government has multiple goals. They want to bring them home, but they also have foreign policy priorities. And there is also still a belief that if you cut a deal too quickly or the wrong deal, you are just incentivizing the kidnapping of Americans overseas.
You mentioned Bill Richardson, TJ, just then, the former governor of New Mexico, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, the guy who is operating the Richardson Center for Global Engagement. And I know, as you said, that he was involved in getting Trevor Reed, the former Marine, released and back home to the U.S. So what does his involvement now mean for Griner's situation in specific?
The fact that he signed on was a huge deal. Two reasons. One, it's another sign that the U.S. government looks at it as legitimately wrong. Richardson and his top lieutenant, well-known in this world, Mickey Bergman, said We don't negotiate for people who have been rightfully detained. So whatever they saw, they agreed with the State Department. Mm. But also his involvement is crucial because he can do things that the U.S. government can't. He can have conversations with third parties, with organizations that might be banned under U.S. law, where the U.S. government can't legally have those conversations. But Bill Richardson is a private citizen. Can. So he can set up the framework of a deal. Mm. And a lot of times what happens in these is you've got to, this is international diplomacy. They have to make it look a lot of times like it wasn't a straight swap. Somebody has to save face. If you're the family or the person who's been detained, it's maddening that you have to go through this, but that's what it takes. If you got somebody in your family detained, that's who you want working on it. But at the same time, you always have to consider who the audiences are for these things. Why would it matter to Vladimir Putin to get a guy financing terrorism out of jail? And how is that a victory for him if he can do that or cut some other deal? His real audience in this case, according to everyone I've spoken to, is the oligarchs and the generals around him who support him. The war is not going well. He is able to maintain power because he keeps the oligarchs rich and they keep him rich and support him. It's symbiotic. All the financial pressure now has been on the oligarchs and on him. If he wants to maintain the support of the people who matter, he's got to keep them happy. And what you can be assured of is if there is a deal cut for somebody, it's not so much because Vladimir Putin has a specific interest. It's because somebody whose support he needs wants that person. So everybody's, you know, got very specific agendas in this.
All right, TJ, after the break, we need to talk about the new updated agenda stateside with the WNBA.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, TJ, you had begun to explain the rules of the game, and the rules are not the rule of law. The rules are the rules of Vladimir Putin. And so just to recap some of it here, right, it's been 90 days since Brittany Griner got arrested in Russia. She was playing basketball over there professionally, as so many WNBA players do. And so she's now detained for another 30 days. She hasn't gone to trial yet. What is your sense of when we can expect, when she can expect an actual trial here?
She may never get one. Part of the game is, you know, making it look like this is all legitimate. But once you go to trial, now you're forced to deal with this in a public way. At least, you know, Russia's forced to deal with this in a public way that could frankly expose what they've got. Either they have evidence that she was carrying something that had hashish oil in it, or they don't. And so you talk to legal observers who say, it does not take this long to investigate a crime like this. Yes, they're at war, but they still have labs. If this was legitimate, they could have the evidence and say, let's move ahead. Under Russian law, they can extend her up to a year, the pretrial period. Mm. And there's no reason to think that they wouldn't keep doing this. Every time there's a hearing date, it's another opportunity to create public pressure. And that's really what the goal is going to be here. It's not going to be jurisprudence. It's going to be a negotiating tactic. So expect them to keep kicking the can as long as they need to, doing anything that they can to create pressure.
Because the public pressure you're referring to is the public pressure that would be imposed here in the United States domestically in terms of wanting Brittany Griner back, such that the price that the U.S. would be willing to pay in that trade, in that very kabuki transaction, such that that could finally actually get done.
That's exactly what it is. And who's the pressure on? It's on the White House. It really is. I mean, the State Department obviously is the vehicle that's going to, you know, execute this policy. But it comes down to the president of the United States saying, let's do this deal. And they know that. When Trevor Reed was released, it was after his family had protested the White House, had sought a meeting with him. They got the meeting with him. They have said they absolutely believe that the pressure that they put on the president helped. At least, you know, their representative has said that. I mean, they credited President Biden and thanked him. State Department and people that I speak to say they kind of cringe at that. Like, look, we get it. And we'd probably feel the same way if it was our family. But people don't understand that we're as motivated to get them out, you know, whether the president is calling over to Foggy Bottom or not. The strategy, if you're going to try to pressure the U.S. government, is you want the president asking Ron Klain, his chief of staff, or somebody else, what's going on over there? And if they call the State Department, you know, it puts pressure. Get something done. We want something.
Yeah, Foggy Bottom being the neighborhood in D.C. that's a synecdoche for, of course, the State Department. And TJ, it does become clearer now that in this very morbid way, Brittany Griner's family and the Russian government are both looking forward to the pressure being put on President Joe Biden, which is what complicates Foggy Bottom's position in this framework. And so for the Griner family, for her legal representation, she now has this attorney, Alexander Boykov. What do we know about him?
I can't tell you his judicial philosophies, but what I can tell you is he's considered a real lawyer. And that's a big deal over there. The way it's been described to me, public defenders in Russia are essentially an arm of the prosecutors. And the tradition there, the understanding is that if you've got a public defender, you've got someone who is pushing you to cut a deal with prosecutors so that the prosecutor can look good. This is what you want. They got a legitimate lawyer in their minds who they feel gives them a shot. But at this point, that person is really just kind of a clerk in some ways. I mean, his job, he's keeping tabs on her. He's the one visiting her, gets to see her in person. Again, the people around Brittany Griner were telling me, you know, when the U.S. Department of State says, well, we don't have access to her, they're saying, well, we don't really care. We have eyes on her. We have our own lawyer. He's going through the motions. But the fact is, he's not going to be the thing that gets her out. He's just going to be the one really keeping an eye on how she's treated over there.
And how is she being treated over there, TJ, as you understand it from talking to the people close to her?
Now, that's a really interesting thing. A government official said to me, good considering, right? I mean, under any prison, it's not going to be fun. The people around her say, we know she's okay. But you also have to take that with a grain of salt, because if she were not okay, if they were to say, we're getting terrible reports, or she's getting great treatment, it's like a spa, that changes the tenor of the conversations. So all we can do is kind of go by what they tell us. And I mean, it's hard to, when she's in court, stooped over with a hoodie pulled up and her hands in cuffs, it's really hard to judge what's going on. I think it's easy to forget that even if you totally believe that one side is in the right, everybody's got an agenda. And it may be one driven by good faith and the right reasons, but you still have to take anything that you hear about her from either side with a grain of salt.
And it feels very important to remember, TJ, that this is all happening as the WNBA season is now officially underway. And previously, suppressing protests and suppressing pressure was a strategy here to sort of sneak Brittany Griner through that geopolitical framework. That's obviously over now. And so what are you seeing from the WNBA? How have the floodgates opened here?
Anything that you're seeing from the WNBA or players is absolutely deliberate. They've been taking all their direction from Brittany Griner's representatives, who, as we said, have been taking their direction from the State Department. Once the strategy changed and she became moved to the special envoy's desk, they recognized, okay, now we want to start turning up the pressure. And the couple of statements that we've seen from Griner's agent, Lindsay Kagawa-Kallas, both have mentioned the White House, and that's not by accident. So when you see a decal on the court, when you see the commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, open up the draft by saying, we're thinking of Brittany Griner, it's all deliberate.
Before we get into tonight's events, I want to take a moment to reiterate the WNBA's support for Phoenix Mercury star Brittany Griner.
And here's the trick they have to pull off. Just because she's been reclassified does not mean she's coming home soon. I mean, Trevor Reed was there more than 2 years. Paul Whelan has been there for more than 2 years. Just because the State Department looks at it differently and Bill Richardson is involved, it doesn't mean she's about to come home. So they understand it could be weeks, it could be years, and you need to try to build some public support without exhausting the public, without this huge rush of media that creates this expectation she's going to come home, which may be really unrealistic.
Yeah, the PR calculation here, TJ, it seems like you're gesturing towards the idea that they need to be playing the long game here. And look, we're getting the BG42 decals everywhere in the WNBA. We're seeing the NBA amplify some of that as well. We're seeing Breonna Stewart, Brittany Griner's USA basketball teammate, talk about how it's time for her to come home at the White House on Twitter. Aja Wilson, the 2020 WNBA MVP, is also speaking up. She said that everyone's doing hopefully what they need to do to make sure she gets home safe. That was at USA basketball training camp. But you're warning against the numbness here. You're warning against the numbness that the public here and the White House might have if this is just sort of the white noise as a very long process is really just beginning.
Right. And that's exactly. And at the same time, trying to send this message out that we trust the U.S. government, we trust the people who are there, we believe that they have her best interests at heart, but we want them to move quickly and we want to keep the pressure on them. If you create too much attention early on and people feel disappointed, then you're eroding public trust in those institutions. I mean, it's quite a balancing act. So as far as the people around Brittany Griner are concerned, the best thing for them is that at least everyone in their world is sort of staying on message. They had been more concerned earlier on about members of Congress, just kind of popping off at what they felt were inopportune times. They want the support. They want it to be steady pressure. But that's the thing with pressure is you can't always control how it comes out.
And so the question, TJ, that I have for you here as we get towards the end is simply, what does Brittany Griner's team, her family, her lawyer, her agent, what do they want to see from a public that is concerned for her, that wants to see this story take a positive turn? What do they want as of now, May 18th, 2022?
They definitely want the pressure. They want the White House getting phone calls. They want hashtags trending.
Yep.
They understand that none of this pressure has anything to do with getting Russia to do anything. Vladimir Putin does not care, what WNBA supporters in the U.S. say about anything. They want the White House getting phone calls. It really comes down to that. But they also don't want to create an environment where they feel they've eroded that public trust, which is a pretty tough thing to do. I mean, we are just not in a social climate where people are inclined to trust institutions or government leaders, and that is not easy to do.
the idea that Brittany Griner had to go play overseas to supplement her income because WNBA players are not making anywhere close to what their NBA counterparts make. I mean, that's obvious at this point. But do you see it changing? Do you see going to Russia specifically, going abroad generally? How do you see this all affecting compensation of WNBA players and what the best practices will be as to their off seasons going forward?
The NBA has really been in a squeeze from a PR standpoint on this. Look, the reality is that with pure market forces, Brittany Griner in this country is not going to be worth, you know, in a market sense, what LeBron James is. But advocates for women's sports have long said there's this restriction on how the game is marketed, on access to it, that has really restrained their ability to market themselves. You've got these hard salary caps, and the NBA recognizes, and Adam Silver has even said, yeah, we've got to do something about this. It's not so as simple as saying, well, they're valued more over in Russia. Well, you've got billionaire oligarchs who are part of a criminal government who are spending billions of dollars for pet projects and have been accused of laundering money as well. So we're not comparing apples to apples in any regard. You're not going to see people going to Russia anytime soon, simply because of the war and the relationship between our countries. There is a larger question out there about, you know, who are you getting into business with when you go to countries like Russia, like China, you know, when you've got money coming from these other sources. And whatever talk there was of a reckoning about, you know, should you be getting in business with oligarchs? Well, look what's going on right now with professional men's golf and setting up a tour in Saudi Arabia and the unbelievably twisted answers that Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman have gotten themselves into, you know, trying to justify it. So it doesn't seem like we're at the end of sports organizations and individuals trying to get money wherever they can get it. Russia's different. It's off the table, you know, for the foreseeable future. The NBA will not start paying women the same that it pays men, but there's a clear recognition they've got to do something to at least get them up to a point where it's not that much more advantageous to go. And if, you know, if not Russia, then Israel or Turkey or, you know, some other country. There's going to be a shift. It won't be as much as women's sports supporters in this country would like to see, but it's more than we would have seen if Russia hadn't grabbed Brittany Griner. It's also not just about money. I mean, money is obviously a huge part of it, but what you've heard for years is the difference in how they're treated over there.
Yes.
I mean, the one advantage to going to another country where an oligarch sees you as part of his vanity project, he's going to treat you well. Neka Ogwumike, who's a president of the Players Association, she said something about that pretty recently.
I had a good experience in Russia. Obviously, the circumstances are very different.
Yes.
I had been playing in China shortly after Russia. But we don't want to play 12 months out of the year. We want to play over here. We're treated well. I mean, that is the truth. But we don't want to feel as though we have to go over there to get what we want to get at home.
So TJ, after hearing that, I do want to close by just turning the focus back to Brittany Griner in particular, because the question that I still have, that this entire thing really does boil down to, is just how long do you think this is going to drag on, right? Like, how close are we and her family, her loved ones, any WNBA, how close are we to seeing her safe return?
I mean, so many sports metaphors come to mind. I mean, one, in terms of the public, there's the old expression, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. In this case, it's not a marathon, it's an ultra marathon. You would like it to be a sprint, and that's what the hope is that something changes quickly and she gets to come home. If you're trying to watch what's going on with the strategy, there's so much we don't know what we don't know. And that's, you know, the other metaphor. It's we're watching a submarine battle from the surface. We don't even know how many submarines there are. You don't always even know who you're talking to, who you're negotiating with. Is it someone from the Kremlin? Is it one of the ministries? Is it a particular oligarch? Is it a prosecutor? We don't know any of those things. And even Brittany Griner's family, if everything is successful, they won't know what happened until they get a phone call saying she's about to board a flight.
TJ Quinn, thank you for letting us know a lot more, at least, than we knew before.
It's nice to talk about how much we don't know. That's become a full-time job these days.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.